Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AECC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Zach Clinton, Vice President of the AACC and co-host here at LLFF, along with my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you for joining us today. Today's topic is one I'm passionate about, as we'll be diving into the world of sport and performance psychology and really trying to better understand how we can come alongside of our kids to best support them and help them manage the pressures of athletic competition, but also everyday life. Our special guest is a professor of sport and performance psychology, as well as the director of the Center for Sport and Performance Psychology at California Baptist University. He applies over 30 years of athletic knowledge to his consulting work, having spent time with the Colorado Rockies, 1996 Summer Olympics, and multiple years as a club, high school, and college coach. He's also been married for 25 years, and together he and his wife have four incredible kids. Joining us today is a dear friend, Dr. Ed Garrett. Ed, thank you so much for joining us today.
Wow, honored to be here, Zach. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, sir. Well, my friend, something that I'm excited about up front here is that we just launched officially our Sport and Performance Psychology Division at the AACC. You are heading that up for us. It's super exciting. You're here in town, actually, locally in Lynchburg from California. We've just been filming a ton of course content. Really, it's all around athletic coaches and developing within them this cognitive training. Help our listeners understand just the excitement around this new division, and where do we go from here?
Wow, no pressure there at all, Zach. Appreciate that segue there, brother. Wow, you know, again, I know I've shared with you, it's what's going to be on my tombstone, God is a trip.
Yeah.
He just really is. And for him to orchestrate this, for me to, you know, start a conversation and then to see what the AACC has done coming alongside with this vision of sport and performance psychology. I mean, it's huge. It's out there. I mean, if we look back to, you know, the last Olympics, and Simone Biles really put the thought of mental health and athletics on the map, and everybody just kind of started going, whoa, maybe we need to start thinking about this a little more. And here we are. Here we are sitting here launching this division, just knowing that God's going to impact so many lives. I mean, if you're listening, you're going to be impacted.
That's right.
You're going to be impacted. God uses sports. Sports is that universal language. It really is. It's the thing we talk about around the water cooler Monday morning. Do we have water coolers anymore? I don't know if we have we have Stanleys and Yetis. Maybe we don't have water coolers. But it's the thing we talk about when we get into the office. So, you know, as a parent myself of athletes, yeah, it's something we continue to be blessed by but want to know more about. And that's what we do here with the sports and performance psychology side of the AACC.
It's pretty incredible to know that, like you said, what we get to do is impact and influence, in a sense, the influencers, the coaches, the ones that are pouring into and investing into this next generation, especially of athletes. As you mentioned, mental health is almost the buzzword in culture and society today, and that has easily been infiltrated into sports for years. And I think this is just long overdue, as you mentioned to me, this new division. So I'm excited. But sir, as you mentioned, you grew up playing sports. Since you've coached sports, you're a dad who has kids involved in sports. You've walked alongside of countless athletes as they've navigated their athletic careers. Edwin, approach the right way. Why are sports such a gift?
I love how Paul really put things in the New Testament, because he understood. I know we were talking about this. He understood athletics. Mm-hmm. He understood the power of physical training, coupled with the mental training that we go through to be spiritually just a rock, you know, for our Lord and Savior. And so, you know, this growth, this understanding of the mental aspect of sports, you know, it's kind of unique because we probably never grew up with that. When we were playing sports, I mean, you were baseball, I was baseball. You know, if you got hit by a baseball, coach would say, don't rub it. You know, don't rub it, don't cry. Boys, don't cry. You know, there's no crying in baseball. And that's kind of how we were brought up. And we missed a lot. I mean, there's a lot of thought, emotion that goes into sports. If you don't think there's emotion in sports, just watch what happens to those that don't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Watch what happened to those that don't win the World Series. Just watch the emotions. There's emotions in sports. And so I think as coaches, as parents, we need to be understanding those emotions and what those emotions bring or take away from when it's connected to sports.
I love that. There are definitely emotions in sports, right? Yeah. Everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to lose. We're all competitors here, right?
Sure.
And it's just understanding that, as you mentioned, sports are a part of life. They're a part of everyday life. It's obvious you and I both have an affinity and passion for them, and I dare to say that most of our listeners out there, moms, dads, coaches, they really care about sports and they love them too. Everybody wants an edge. People love to compete, Ed, but we also, in that, need wisdom, knowing when to push our kids, knowing when to pull back, knowing when to support, knowing when to challenge. How imperative is it for us to find this balance, but also how do we find that balance?
Oh, wow. You know, what's interesting is, again, going back to God is a trip. You know, here I am a coach. I've been a coach. I mean, I'm retired now, but I've been a coach collegially in high school and club and different levels. And raising two of my four, actually, well, three of my four now, have really engaged in athletics. My oldest daughter, when she was young, we knew she was going to be tall. So, man, here's a dad that was with, you know, worked with USA Volleyball. I mean, I just saw my future volleyball athlete is what I saw in my daughter.
Right.
You know, and sure enough, she grew. And, Zach, she was approaching 5'10", 5'11", you know, and I'm getting excited. And then my youngest son, he's now about 6'1", but he's a goalkeeper. He's a sophomore in high school, and you just see the potential there. And let's be real. Yes, I'm a cognitive coach. Yes, I work in sport and performance psychology. And yes, I should know better.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, you get wrapped up in it. And living vicariously. I never got a chance to play much. I wasn't tall for men's volleyball. I'm 6 feet. That's not tall for men's volleyball.
Yeah.
And you know, I would have loved to have done more with baseball. Really would have loved to have gone deeper and didn't just have that opportunity. So, yes, we get guilty as parents. And I'm pointing the finger. Nobody can see it, but I'm pointing the finger back at myself.
Right.
Of just trying to find that balance of listening to our kids. What are they in the sport for? I mean, you know, knowledge-wise, these kids start with the sport because they want to have fun. I think we lose that concept, and we get blinded as parents. And again, I'm calling myself out here. We get blinded by the fact that these kids started a sport. Zach, wrap our brains. They're a sport.
Yes.
It's play.
Yes.
But yet the amount of pressure we put on our kids is just overwhelming. I hear from these athletes, and it's really interesting in my private counseling. It's not the athletes that reach out and ask for help. It's the parents.
Right.
It's the parents that contact me and go, little Johnny, little Sally, how can you help them perform better? I see this. And I have to pause in my own private counseling and kind of go, who really wants my help? Yeah. Is it the parent or is it the athlete? There's many times I'd love to get both of them sitting in the same room. Mm-hmm. And help the parent understand, or just spend time with the parent. Do you understand what you're doing? Yeah. You know, those little sighs you make from the stands that you don't think are anything, but I guarantee you that third baseman, your son, heard that, you know? And so we've got to be careful where we carry things.
It's a great way of putting it, because like you said, I've seen and I've heard a lot of stories of parents living vicariously through their kids. Maybe it's because they never, you know, got to that level before and they want something so badly for their kids, but maybe their kids don't want it for themselves. Yeah. And many times, like you said, we place this unwanted pressure on our kids. What is, you know, I mean, the heat of warning that you would offer maybe a mom or dad out there listening today who maybe is recognizing, even just from what you just shared, maybe I'm living vicariously through my kid. Maybe I am placing unwanted pressure on them. What can that lead to?
Anyway, if you think about it in life, and again, I try not to go all Sigmund Freud and try not to go all deep psychologically, but, you know, we don't like doing anything that's not fun.
Yeah.
And so, you know, within the athlete, their mindset, we don't know necessarily what's going on every time with the athlete. A lot of times it's self-talk or self-doubt, you know, not living up to mom and dad's expectations. Mm-hmm. You'll hear the athletes say a lot of times, I don't want to let my parents down.
Yep.
And that's a trigger for me of where are you – is there that extrinsic focus? Yeah. Where's the intrinsic love? Where's the intrinsic focus that we need to get to? And so as a parent, try to pause. Really take stock of what's going on. Why is your athlete involved in this sport? Mm. Is it because you're the booster? Is it because you're the coach? I've been guilty. I coached my kids. And probably – I mean, if I can say and be frank, probably one of the mistakes I made. You know, as much as I love the sport and wanted to give in to my child and you know, help them grow, hindsight, maybe it probably would have been better to just step back. The challenge was that my daughter or my son had a disconnect. Where's dad and where's the coach? Mm-hmm. And so rides home sometimes led to fights, led to disagreements, led to, dad, why can't you just be happy for me? Oh, I'd get that statement. Why can't you just be happy for me? Yeah, a lot of growing that, you know, again, let's take it back to the premise of God's a trip, being able to see this now and being able to impart my mistakes, my wisdom, my growing opportunities, and to say, parents, you know, think about what is going on in the life of your athlete, your child. There's so many things pulling at them already as it is. Mm-hmm. Do they need one more? I mean, yes, you know, we want to curve the will and confirm the worth.
Yeah.
You know, is what we're trying to do. But finding that fine line of being the supporter as opposed to the one that's trying to run alongside that athlete to the finish line. Let them finish the race. They'll grow stronger through it.
I think there's that balance, like you said, between love and accountability, right? Because where there's all love, no accountability, great relationship, no standard of excellence. Where there's all accountability, no love, there's no relationship, which, like you've already kind of insinuated, leads to frustration, exhaustion, and burnout.
Yes.
And so we have to find that fine line. We have to find that balance. And even I was just thinking to the mom or dad out there that maybe is a coach too. Like you said, prioritize being mom or dad first.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Coach second. Coach, you want the best for your athlete. You want the best for your kids. You want the best for the team. But more importantly, and we'll get into this a little bit later in the interview, who our kids become is a lot more important than what they do and how they perform.
Yeah, and along those lines, one of the things I noticed, and this may be beneficial, early on in my son's career, because I had messed up coaching my daughter and grew through that, but through my son's early career as a keeper, we got to a point where I learned to say, hey, when do you want me to start talking about things we can grow in? And so the car ride was just not a battle all the time. It was like, and he was very honest. He's all, Dad, wait until here. And then let's talk. Almost kind of like I need a time to detox. Even a win, even a loss, give me a time. And then, Dad, let's talk. And so we had to learn, and this may be very beneficial for your listeners, we had to learn a separate language. We had to learn a different language that wasn't based on success and failure because we didn't want to make it toxic. I wanted my son to know and my children to know that I support them, that I want to be there for them. But I also want them to open up when they feel like there's a time to talk. I gave them that permission, which was really beneficial.
That's good, because the greatest form of empathy is inquiry. Mm. I think we need to ask more questions rather than make more assumptions. A lot of parents I see struggle with that right there. But like you said, being able to be receptive of what your child had to say, accepting influence from him and saying, you know, we'll come up with that second language, that's so imperative and probably exactly what he needed.
Yes.
Dr. Ed, I also believe it's important, though, as we balance this support and challenge, this continuum, is to recognize that people respond differently under pressure, right? Mm. Pressure is a big word here. Some people, it almost seems like they crave it, like they thrive under it. But others, they can become incredibly stressed out and maybe even develop probably one of the most significant challenges an athlete can face, which is that of performance anxiety. Mm. Ed, to the mom, dad, maybe even coach out there listening today to our conversation, what are some of the telltale signs or symptoms of chronic stress and or performance anxiety on an athlete?
Wow. You know, a lot of what we do within sport performance psychology really addresses more, definitely more on the acute side, you know, things that we can fix in the dugout, things we can fix on the sidelines, things we can practice, you know, whether it's something as simplistic as goal setting. And that might be something that helps the athlete really address, because a lot of times with stress, the stress is put there. Well, I see it for multiple reasons, but one of the reasons mostly is they don't feel they're in control of certain things. And so we talk about controlling the controllables.
Yep.
What are the things you can control? I mean, that's a line I use all the time.
Yep.
And so, you know, focusing on the small victories. You know, what are the small things you want to accomplish that are associated with the love of why you got started with this? And so there needs to be that love, that fun.
Yeah.
I think we've taken fun out of sports. We, you know, it's no longer fun. It's, you know, I work at a Division I program in California. And those Division I athletes, boy, sometimes they wake up and they realize, oh, my goodness, this is a job.
Right.
It really is. I know there's a lot of parents I'm talking to that are dreaming of their son or daughter going Division I, which I think is a problem in society. You know, pray for your child to go where they are the best fit, where they're going to grow in their understanding of the Lord and their career and their direction, and they're going to have fun. It doesn't matter the division. And so that pressure of being Division I definitely amps it up as well. So, you know, the undue pressure sometimes starts at home.
Yeah.
Sometimes it starts on that club team.
Yeah.
But start, you know, observation's good science. Observe your children. Observe your athletes and try to find out where are they showing signs of burnout or stress, anxiety before it gets chronic. Before it gets chronic, because that's where that sports psychologist can step in or that cognitive coach can step in and start giving tools. Once it gets chronic, then we're definitely looking more of that therapeutic side that probably needs to take place because we don't want this to be long going. But if we can try to treat more of the acute stress and anxiety to where we can handle things, understanding, I mean, if we go into, you know, acceptance and commitment therapy, understanding that things happen.
Right.
You know, if we can get the athlete to understand and accept, hey, strikeouts happen, missed shots happen, we can start moving forward and not dwell on the past.
That's, you know, what we've talked about in the past is my dad always mentioned to me, you either win or you learn, you never lose, right? Mm-hmm. When we talk about like that acceptance of failing, right? Sports are a game of failure. That's what they always are. Baseball, you and I, we talk this language all the time. If you fail 7 out of 10 times at the highest level, you bat 300, you're a Hall of Famer, right? So it's a game of failure. And I think when we are able to accept that, recognize that, acknowledge that, it helps work against, you know, sport-based shame where then I feel like I'm the failure.
Mm-hmm.
Ed, you've kind of given us an understanding of how to better recognize some of these symptoms of stress, of, you know, performance anxiety. But now I kind of want to get into what you mentioned, some techniques, some strategies that you would maybe educate and equip the parents, the coaches out there listening to this conversation today about how they can get the best out of their athletes, how they can make them more confident, especially in times where the going gets tough and there's high stakes on the ground. What would you say to that person out there today?
Wow. I mean, there's quite a few. Let me piggyback on just some of the ones that I use more often than not.
Yeah.
And some of the ones that are very simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because athletes, again, they don't want the academia side. They enjoy being out of the classroom. That's why they're on the field or on the court. They enjoy being out of it. So I try in my practice not to bring the classroom necessarily to them.
Yeah.
I want to bring more simplistic tools, things that make sense. So So, you know, I'll give you an example, you know, thought stopping or mm-hmm. or being able to control the negative self-talk that we all have. In sports psychology, we call it mind chatter. Yep. It's that little voice inside that's never going to go away. It's always going to be there. Even as adults, we hear it. Yeah. You know, it's that little, oh, don't make a mistake or don't do what you did last time or everybody's watching, don't blow it. That small little stuff. And so we got to figure out how to really acknowledge that and move on. And it sounds complex, but the reality is, and all listeners know what I'm talking about. We all have, you can't see it because we're on radio, but I'm holding my cell phone. We all have one of these. I call it a box of crack. And what I mean by that is, I mean, it is so addictive, okay? Yep. I'm not condoning drugs or anything here. Thank you very much. Nobody's sponsoring that. But we're addicted by the cell phone. And so what happens inevitably sometimes is that's a cell phone call comes through. And we see the number, and it's our area code. Mm-hmm. And we don't recognize the number, but maybe we think, hey, you know what? One of our friends got a new phone, and so we're going to answer it anyway. Maybe it's them. And we pick it up, and inevitably, it's not our friend. It ends up being a telemarketer, a spam call. And we're like, oh, man, did I just answer this? And we naturally, inevitably, we don't pause even 2 seconds. We hang it up. It's like, I'm not interested. We hang it up. Mm-hmm. And so I challenge the athletes when I share this kind of analogy with them. I go, look, once you hang it up, did you spend any more time thinking about that telemarketer? And the answer always is no. Mm-hmm. And I said, then do you get it? You already know how to do this one tactic, one tool, one trick. Now just teach your mind to hang it up. Wow. So when that negative thought comes in that says you're going to strike out again, first check it against the truth.
Yep.
Okay, because that's a lie. And then hang it up. Hang it up. So acknowledge, I hear you, but I'm not paying attention. And so I challenge the athletes, hey, where are your shoes? Well, my shoes are right here. All right, simply put, where your shoes are is where your mind needs to be. So the cool thing about it is your feet are always going to be with you. Your shoes are always going to be with you. So you have that tool with you. Mm. So if you ever catch yourself going, man, I'm worried about tomorrow's game. Well, you know what? That's not here. Mm. Not only is that not biblical, or is that biblical because God always said, hey, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough to worry about it itself. Yeah. But it's like, why are you worrying about tomorrow? Mm. Be present.
So good. I love that term, mind chatter, like you said. Mm-hmm. Catch, challenge, change, right? Being able to refocus our thoughts onto better things, onto more positive things, onto more adaptive things, but then also focusing where our feet are and being mindful, being present in the moment. Don't miss those moments.
Yes.
Dr. Garrett, as we kind of wrap up our conversation today, what a blast it's been just hearing a little bit more just into your heart, into your psyche, and just your love and your passion for sports and investing in this next generation. But as we know, and as you've already insinuated and mentioned several times throughout our conversation today, sports at the end of the day, Ed, they're just a game, right? Are they fun? Absolutely. Do we prepare to win? Of course we do. But what our kids do or how they perform will never be as important as who our kids become. Ed, what are some final thoughts and words that you would just choose to leave us with today?
Get into Galatians and God's fruit smoothie, okay? Mm-hmm. Get into the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're dealing with an athlete out there that is struggling to really find the passion again for the sport, have them explore those first three. I do this with athletes all the time. Have them first find the love in what they do, then find the joy in what they do. And that will lead naturally to the peace and inevitably the patience. Because I guarantee you, if you're looking at your athletes' parents and they're missing the love, they're missing the joy, there's not going to be any peace. Mm-hmm. And so challenge the athletes, or maybe you yourself need to hear this today. Where's the love in what you love and what you do? Where's the joy? And you'll find peace. And guess what? We're always praying for more patience.
I love that. Get yourself a Holy Spirit fruit smoothie.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Dr. Ed Garrett, my friend, thank you so much just for all that you're doing to continually invest into the next generation, not just of athletes, but of people. From all of us here at the ACC, we love and appreciate you, my friend.
God bless you, brother.
Well, to all of our listeners, we come to you each week right here to bring you a word of hope and encouragement and to help strengthen your life, love, and relationships with God and those close to you. Know that God loves you and that He is there for you. You've been listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family with Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton. We love being a part of your life. For more information, visit timclinton.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, This is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.